If you're looking for a Christmas gift for a child, grandchild, or godchild ages 3 through 8, give them the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for December, Symbols of Salvation, The Story of Jesus' Birth. It's a new, interactive, and illustrated book showcasing the true story of Christmas in rhyme. Symbols of Salvation is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Symbols of Salvation, the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month.
Tell me why.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's time to go through some listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Both of those are for your show suggestions, criticisms, comments. If you have additional questions that I didn't ask, then feel free to submit them. talkback@issuesetc.org. Or leave them at the comment line, 618-223-8382.
You know, we really need to get this one light in the unnamed studio fixed. It's kind of dark, and I'm on the darkness end.
Yeah, you're down on the dark side, aren't you?
I forgot all about that.
Yeah.
We haven't talked about it in a while. I forgot all about it.
Yeah. The by the way, speaking of the unnamed studio, for a year-end tax-deductible gift of $50,000, we'll name the studio in honor of someone you love or an organization. Just give us a call, 618-223-8385. I did not intend to talk about the light to ask for $50,000. I feel like a televangelist, but I can assure you that did not cross my mind.
It's just a light bulb, right?
No, it's not. The whole thing needs to be taken down. They're LED lights. And replaced.
It's actually in the can.
So, yeah. Yes, well, it looks like a can light, but it's really just about an inch and a half thick, and it's got two little bars on the inside that clamp to the inside of the drywall. So it's all aesthetic. It's just an LED.
Okay, so we just need to buy another one.
Yeah, I got up on a chair and tried to unscrew it.
I remember when he told me he did that, I didn't want to say anything.
Because it looks like a light bulb. Right? Doesn't it, Todd?
Folks, you need to know that Jeff is not...
something inclined.
Not inclined toward...
DIY. Well, home... I do DIY, but not a handyman. Is that the title we're looking for?
He's not a handyman. He's not mechanically inclined. Let's just put it that way.
But I can drive a nail quite well, unlike the Right Reverend Father Will Wheaton, host of The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
He can't. What do you mean he can't drive?
I don't think he's capable.
You're saying he just doesn't.
Is the hammer? The hammer's too heavy.
Yeah, you're saying he doesn't have the muscle to swing the hammer.
I think first of all you might have to show him what a hammer is. I'm overstating. I don't know. I can just assure you he if it's anything handy, I will try. I'll watch a video. I'll try. He's not going to give it a try.
Well, you know, you got to have people like that to keep the professional handymen in business.
That's right. That's right. And I got to try my hammering skills in our new nativity scene outside the studios of Lutheran Public Radio. Looks kind of nice.
It does.
Wilkin applied his local drama theater lighting skills. And it's quite well lit, I might add. So thank you very much.
Yeah, it's not rocket science.
I don't know. I couldn't have done that. You knew how to get rid of shadows and...
Yeah, just move something so it doesn't cast a shadow.
I'm trying to give you a compliment.
I know.
Anyway, so if you want to visit, you can see our new...
Before it gets vandalized.
Hey, it's been... We're approaching, a week? It's been up for a week. We're right across the street from a public high school with almost 2,000 students, Craig's alma mater, Collinsville High School, 2134 South Morrison Avenue. So drive by and check out our new nativity set from the outdoor nativity store.
And Lynn was smart enough, or maybe she just didn't have a choice. Usually it's baby Jesus that gets stolen. But this baby, if you want to steal baby Jesus, you got to steal Mary too. They're connected. So I guess, you know, then he wouldn't be lonely, but...
That goes from grave to mortal sin. If you're stealing baby Jesus and the Virgin Mary, I don't know. That's mortal, right?
I don't know. Is Collinsville a Roman Catholic community?
It used to be. It used to be very Italian, Roman Catholic.
We still have the Italian fest. So
yeah, the Italian fest, yes. Where they sell brats.
That's right.
Hey, chicken sandwiches too. Ice cream. They have a plethora of.
Italian fest is like the rest of America, turned into a politically correct multicultural event
in Collinsville. Yeah. So, all right. What's first?
Hold on. Let me just say this. We still have the red, white, and green. What is it? What are they?
Don't even know what to call it anymore. The heritage is completely lost. All they have is a color.
The red, white, and green water hydrants, fire hydrants down Main Street. Come on. We still have those. Doesn't that mean it's something Italian?
No. It means nothing.
All right. There was something else I wanted to talk about, but I can't remember. Anyway, your in tax deductible gift of $50,000 or more, the studio that I'm sitting in can be named for someone you love in their memory or an organization, an institution. Just let us know, 618-223-8385. I think I gave the comment line number. I want to make a $50,000 donation. You have reached the issues, et cetera, listener comment line. 618-223-8385. And we will, should it be named, the light will be replaced.
So,
we're just waiting for a $50,000 right. check to replace the LED light.
We also have to replace Wilkin's laptop because,
that's not good.
Wilkin dropped his laptop this morning, and it's not the first time I've dropped it. And if you look at Jeff Schwartz's laptop, you can tell it's not the first time he's dropped one, but I dropped it just right this morning, and the laptop still works, but the display is completely gone. So I'm mirroring the display. I have some computer skills, so I was able to mirror the display on one of our extra monitors.
That's not really that hard, though, is it? You just plug a cord into it and...
It kind of does it itself.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, come on.
Yeah, you have to tell it.
Let's not oversell it here,
Todd. You have to tell it a few things, but...
I'm impressed with it, your ability to hook it up, Todd. Unlike Craig. During a recent meeting at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, people started gazing at my desktop on my MacBook Pro.
Yeah, I almost took a picture of it the other day because I was using your laptop to set up a video chat between the aforementioned Pastor Will Whedon and Pastor Chris Rosebro. He's appeared on Pastor Chris Rosebro's
YouTube channel.
Yeah, YouTube channel, Fighting for Faith. And I was setting it up, and the desktop on his MacBook, how do I describe this? Like 100 stacks of documents.
Most of them are spread out.
Yeah.
But I have too many in the upper right-hand corner. I can't move them.
A lot of
overlapping
things. Do you know what they are?
Yeah, I know what they are.
You know what all of them are?
I know like where to find them.
I have
the finder.
I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 things on my desktop of my MacBook Pro. And one of the, you know, some of them are folders, of course, but it's just completely covered in documents. It's just papered with documents. It looks like one of those, you know, walls in a big city where they just post stuff up, and that's what it looks like.
I think there's so many things on the desktop on the production computer in Jeff's office that you can't see them all on the screen.
My Mac's the same way. That's why they're starting to all go up in the upper right-hand corner.
Yeah,
in the words of one of my fellow parishioners who saw it at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, he said, "My autism can't take this." That's exactly what he said.
I just know whenever I log in remotely to your PC here at the office and I go to the desktop to navigate to the network or something like that, it's just an endless pile, a list of things.
Now, you are correct. But let's remember,
if he wasn't married.
The Reverend Todd, is it A. Wilkin? What's your middle name?
Allen.
Yeah. Todd Allen Wilkin. Isn't great at deleting the files that he puts on the transfers on the desktop either.
No. <right? laughs> I do occasionally go in there and I will delete the things that I use to transfer. But
no, it's my fault. It's I don't know. It doesn't bother me. I don't know. It's crazy.
Well, the good thing about putting them on your desktop is you know where they are. You don't have to go searching for them. I mean, it's convenient.
Now I'm getting wordy. Now I'm getting really worried. That advice just came from Craig, a.k.a.
who's
the hoarder,
who's
Feitinger. Now I should be concerned about my desktop.
If you want to know how Craig it works for Craig, any flat surface within 10 feet of him is covered in paper.
Food,
generally half a head of cabbage, an entire stock, not just one stock, but an entire celery plant, all these things.
Speaking of food, we have a refrigerator. It just should be called Craig's Fridge. So I go in there.
We have a refrigerator?
Yeah, I bring my lunch in a bag every day, and I just put it in this one section. Well, I pulled it out today, and some kind of spaghetti thing, I mean to tell you this, came out. Of course, it was moldy, but you know, it'll get thrown away eventually. So if I were you, Craig, stay away from the spaghetti then.
Yeah, watch it when you open the refrigerator I just discovered we had. It's in there behind me. You learn something new every day. More listener email, actually some listener email, hopefully, and the issues, etc. comment line next.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The third commandment teaches us to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. We do this when we hold God's word sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Jesus invites the weak and heavy laden to rest in him, our true rest, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. This weekend, rest in Jesus as you hear his word and receive his gifts. If you are in Southern Illinois, you're invited to join Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt to rest in the grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Learn more at trinitymillstadt.org.
I am beautiful because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I am accepted because I'm a part of His family through Jesus' shed blood.
Unity Lutheran School in East St. Louis, Illinois, shines the light of Christ in one of the most impoverished cities in America. Learn how to support their mission work at unityesl.org. Unityesl.org.
Today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I say yes to God in His ways.
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December is a children's Christmas book. It's called Symbols of Salvation, the Story of Jesus' Birth. You'll find it at our website, issuesetc.org, or you can call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours and ask for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December, Symbols of Salvation. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line.
Brian writes, on 11/22, you removed any doubt as to whether you believe old universe creationism to be heretical. Thank you. You have already judged our motives. We heretics are craven cowards, afraid of the ridicule of the world and the snicker of Satan, not Christians trying to rightly divide the word of truth. You have also judged the motives of those who will not go on the record with you and condemn this heresy. They too are cowards. I congratulate you on your ability to discern the hearts of men. You continue to talk as if the young earth creation is scripture rather than an interpretation thereof, and that general revelation is an external authority with no relevance to how we read the Bible rather than God's revelation. This hermeneutic remains even when addressing passages about creation. You have misrepresented old earth creationism as a halfway house between evolution and truth. OEC denies that evolution of any kind has occurred, being woefully inadequate to account for the first life or the diversity that has followed. God has made it all. You have stated that OEC distorts the fall and that we must find a different explanation that St. Paul has for death. But Romans 5:12 clearly refers to death through sin, which came to all men. Olders believe that we have inherited our sinful nature from Adam, who with Eve was specially created in his image, actual historical people from whom all men proceed when they disobeyed God. We agree with Scripture. Plants and animals do not sin and do not pay its penalty. A cursory look at a leopard clearly reveals that God designed it to stalk, pursue, kill, and eat meat, which he bountifully provides. Great are the works of the Lord. They are studied by all who delight in them. Psalm 111:2. The lions roar after their prey, and they seek their food from God. Psalm 104:21. In light of these verses and others, does belief in plant and animal death before the fall really rise to the level of heresy? This paragraph would be longer, but the preceding is the only specific issue I have heard you address. More importantly, to misrepresent our position is either ignorant or dishonest. To do so without allowing us to defend ourselves makes it even worse. As I have previously pointed out, you have a connection with the OEC Ministry Reasons to Believe through Kenneth Samples. He or others there would be more than happy to speak for themselves and us. Allow me to engage in some speculation as to your heart. Your increasing aggression and shrill tone, along with name-calling and misrepresentation, reveal a lack of confidence in your own accusations. It is easy to lob grenades and run away. But in my mind, the right course would be to allow us to confront our accuser. If you don't, should we not ask who the coward is? Thanks for the email. Thanks for listening, Brian.
Well, it is refreshing to have an old earth creationist admit that they believe that there was death before the fall, that death did not enter the world through one man, but that it entered prior to that, and it only entered the human race through one man, which is not what Paul says. He says it entered the world. He uses the word cosmos there. It's the, kind of the generic Greek word for the universe. So Paul seems to think that there's no death before Adam's fall at all, period. Now, where in the text of Genesis do you find this? Well, what if you're going to go along with the current conventional wisdom of science, if, what, 14, 15 billion years? Where in the text of Scripture are those eons in which the universe existed without man along with death? You can't find that in the text of Scripture. You can try and shoehorn it between some words or some verses. And here's the problem. If you can't get five verses into the Bible without gainsaying what the text plainly says, which is there's a first day, and God did something during that first day, you already have a problem. Now, I wasn't trying to name call old earth creationists, but I did say, someone had asked, is it heresy? And I said, well, it's certainly heresy adjacent. It's an error that, if you carry it to its logical conclusion, requires you to deny things that are fundamental, or to somehow reinterpret things that are fundamental to the Christian faith. And I did say, we need to ask, now that we've had a couple centuries of Darwinian evolution, whether or not attempts to rectify the Genesis account with a Darwinian view of the universe amount to heresy. But I think there's certainly heresy adjacent. But again, if you can't get five verses into the Bible without saying, now that can't mean that, you have a problem. And the first time you encounter this description of a day that has an evening and a morning, the way Jews counted their days, and a very clear statement that God did something on that first day, and you say, well, that can't be day. That has to be something else. You have a problem. You're really getting off on the wrong foot with the Bible. Now, if you want to just say, I don't take my cues from the text of Genesis, then fine. I have no problem with that. Then leave the text of Genesis alone. But if you were to hand, say, a new reader, 8-year-old child, and said, read this text and tell me what it is trying to say to you. Don't tell me whether you believe it or not. Just tell me what it's trying to say to you. The 8-year-old child is going to say, well, it sounds like, well, what the Bible actually says some verses later. In 6 days, God created the heavens and the earth and all that is in them, and on the seventh day, he rested from all his labors. Therefore, we honor the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It's right there. In 6 days, he created. Doesn't say he sat around for 14 billion years while everything existed with death and then decided to have this special creation of man. That's interpolating something into the text that simply isn't there. The only way you get that is by applying an authority to the text from outside the text. I know that old earth creationists don't like to hear this because they think they're just reading the text in a different way. but what they're actually reading things from outside the text into the text.
So you wouldn't call it heterodoxy.
I'd call it heterodoxy.
Okay. But you call the heresy adjacent. What's the difference between heresy adjacent and heterodoxy?
Well, all heterodoxies, all false teachings are heresy adjacent. They orbit some kind of heresy, but they may not be the heresy itself.
You wouldn't have a problem saying it's heterodox. Older mm-hmm. is heterodox.
No.
So if you would have said heterodox, I wonder if the listener would have been as outraged, because there is a distinction between heterodox.
Right. And I simply said, we need to ask the question, is now that we know the consequences of these beliefs writ large in our society, do we need to revisit the question of whether or not that reading of Genesis does at least have heretical implications?
As does all heterodox teaching.
Exactly.
So do you think if you just said heterodox...
I think most people, there's
very few people that would call, I don't know too many people would call, outright call. Most people that think of heresy think of something openly violating the creeds.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.
And it's not a kind of just generic reference. It's an obvious reference to the account of the creation. So it's not like, oh, I just kind of believe that God is a creator apart from that account. Those creedal statements are direct references to the account of creation. I mean, other than you can go and look at the book of Job, you can look at all different places that have creation accounts in them, and all of them reflect the original account, the one that starts the Bible. I generally tend to think that the first thing you teach about God is probably really, really important. And we're learning that to reject God as creator, which, to be fair, old earth creationists don't do, but they've at least oriented their beliefs in that direction. Because they've taken what the creator says about how he did it and when he did it and under what circumstances he did it, and they've gainsaid it and said it can't mean what it says.
So in hindsight, would you prefer you would use the term heterodox instead of heresy adjacent? I got to admit, I've never heard the term heresy adjacent before. I think that's a Wilkinism.
Well, sure it is. I made it up.
Yeah, I made it up.
Because it travels along with and is close to greater errors.
That we would
classify as heresies.
All right. David. He writes, I disagree with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer's assertion that the common cup is an adiaphoron. What's an adiaphoron?
It is something that is neither commanded nor forbidden in Scripture. It's another way of saying indifferent things. It doesn't mean you can do anything you want. It just means Scripture does not speak to this specifically.
Many people interpret it as the former, right?
Right.
You can do anything you want. The fact that the Lord intended his disciples to share the chalice is central to the Reformers' argument against communion in one kind, found in separate articles in both the Augsburg Confession and the Apology to the Augsburg Confession. Martin Luther elaborates on the importance of Christ sharing his cup in that these words of Christ, "This is my body," still stand firm against the fanatics. The issue of communion in one kind is the issue of individual cups in another form. Does the church have the authority to change the manner in which the Lord wanted the sacrament to be administered in view of subsequent concerns? The Reformers said no. What about the bread? Is on the level of what about the thief on the cross? We do not know why certain details are emphasized in the consecration and others, such as the color of the wine, are not. But nothing is emphasized without intention. There is much more that could be said about that. But I also want to point out the lack of any mention of the volume of scientific research which proves, and this is the conclusion of the Centers for Disease Control, that with minimal biosecurity measures, such as wiping the chalice between communicants, the chances of spreading disease through the sharing of the cup is extremely unlikely. I know that many Lutheran Church Missouri Synod pastors offer individual cups as an option because they believe it is important that even the most fearful laity receive the Lord's body and blood. This is a barely acceptable practice as long as the chalice is offered first as the preferred option. However, the use of the chalice needs to be strongly defended more than ever in a time when the government needs little excuse to dictate to the church how the sacraments may be administered. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the email, David.
Now, David, you might get yourself in trouble quoting the CDC on something, but I think what the pastors were saying during that roundtable was, we do not have an explicit promise of Scripture that one cannot get sick. Now, the CDC may do their studies and determine that it's highly unlikely, and that's good to know, but they were emphasizing the fact we do not have an explicit promise that one cannot grow ill from receiving the Lord's Supper, some kind of pathogen, whoever it may be. And I think they cited the case of the chalice being poisoned in order to assassinate some leader in the ancient past. So I tend to agree with you. I think that anytime we try and tamper with the institution, and here's the question, when it says he took bread and he broke it, does that say, well, okay, that means we can break it in the sense that we just bake many loaves rather than one loaf? He took the cup and he passed it to them saying, drink of it, all of you. Drink from this one cup, all of you. That is stronger in my mind than to say, well, we have individual breads. That means we can have individual cups. Because it does. His instruction is to drink of it, all of you, from the cup. So would we say that it invalidates the sacrament in some way? That one would no longer have a valid sacrament if they received it via individual cup? I don't think anyone is willing to say that. Maybe we need a different category than adiaphora, which kind of leaves it to everyone's decision. But I like your solution to it, which is, look, let's teach why Christ instituted it the way he did and why the church has historically practiced it and distributed the Lord's Supper the way that it has. And not until recently have we decided, well, either we know better or we don't want to do it that way anymore. Even if our concerns are for our or someone else's health. We'll be right back.
In your town, the techno festival. Oh, the lonely days are gone. I'm coming home. Well, my baby, she wrote me a letter.
If you're looking for a Christmas gift for a child, grandchild, or godchild ages 3 through 8, give them the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for December, Symbols of Salvation, The Story of Jesus' Birth. It's a new, interactive, and illustrated book showcasing the true story of Christmas in rhyme. Symbols of Salvation is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Symbols of Salvation, The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month.
This fallen creation is bested by tornado, hurricane, flood, pandemic, and more. LCMS Disaster Response helps our congregations, their pastors, and other church workers to reach out to their members and neighbors with mercy which flows from Christ's altar. We offer quality volunteer training, help for congregational readiness and response, and disaster grant funding. To learn more, visit lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Lutheranism in the Public Square. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
We desire for all Christian children, including those with learning or behavior challenges, to receive a strong education in the faith. At simplyclassical.com, you will find reading, penmanship, and copybook exercises based on the truth, wisdom, and comfort of God's Word. We include Aesop's fables and classic children's literature, math and science, all from Memoria Press. Use promo code LPR22 at simplyclassical.com.
Confessional Lutherans are invited to rent a 4-bedroom, 3-bathroom Table Rock lakefront home in the Ozarks. Table Rock Lake is a premier lake in the heart of the Ozarks for boating, water sports, and fishing. This log cabin-style rental sleeps 12. And is 30 minutes from Branson and 20 minutes from Silver Dollar City. Learn more by calling Swanson Estates, 713-855-2681. Be sure to mention Issues, Etc., 713-855-2681.
The thing that they really hated about the liturgy wasn't that it was German or Roman. It was that it was Lutheran, particularly that the Lord is active in his means of grace.
You don't have to destroy your flesh. You don't have to pay people to put you through transition surgery or to on hormone treatments. You don't need to deny your body in order to have the peace of God.
When I see churches built like tenement boxes, I ask myself, who under the sun is going to be attracted to go into a place like that?
If you have aspirations to have everything centralized under the control of the state, you can't allow these little independent people running around having their own little miniature society in every house. The mother, the father, and their children, that's a little society right there.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Those soundbites will be played in their entirety, and you will pick which one will be the soundbite of the week. You can vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, by sending us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. On the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382, or send us your vote via Twitter at IssuesETC.
Vote and vote often. Stan. This might be the best email of 2021.
It's a single line.
Stan writes, help me to have a clearer understanding of the difference between justification and sanctification. Thanks for your brevity, Stan. I love you, Stan.
We want to distinguish justification and sanctification, but we don't want to separate them. We distinguish, but we do not separate. They always go together. Those whom God justifies, he also sanctifies. And sanctification flows directly from God justifying the sinner. So what is justification? It is God declaring a sinner righteous for the sake of Christ. That is, Christ's perfect obedience, his life of perfect obedience and righteousness before God, his sinlessness, is, the technical term would be imputed, that is, reckoned to the sinner for Christ's sake. And so this is something that takes place with no merit or worthiness or work or act on the part of the sinner. God simply acts upon the sinner by the power of his word and Holy Spirit to declare the sinner righteous. And we exclude all effort, will, work, use whatever synonym you want to, on the part of the sinner from justification. It is God's work entirely. The sinner is entirely passive in justification. From justification flows sanctification. Having been given the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit does what the Spirit does, and that he start whenever the Spirit interacts with anything, he makes it holy. In this case, he makes the Christian holy. So that through the Word of God, the Spirit never acts apart from the Word of God, through the Word of God, the Holy Spirit begins to make holy this sinful Christian. He remains a sinner, and yet he has been declared to be a saint, a sinless one. He has that sinlessness by faith alone, which again excludes all human works, effort, will, whatever you want to call it. Unlike justification, the Holy Spirit acts in and upon the sinner so that as he continues to sanctify the sinner then is given, as the Lutheran confessions say, new impulses, or as Scripture says, a new heart and a new mind. And he begins feebly, and yet without a doubt, he begins to act upon these new impulses in obedience to God's law. And then he begins to love God's law. So that we want to keep these two actions of God, justification and sanctification, distinct, because we want to exclude all works from justification, but we want to include works in sanctification, the works that are produced by the Holy Spirit through his word, and those works that are, however small in extent, are the cooperative effort between the Holy Spirit and the sinner. Now, would this sinner cooperate of his own will apart from the action of the Holy Spirit? Absolutely not. It is only the Holy Spirit that moves and works this will in the Christian. Does this sanctification grow as the Spirit continues his work? Yes, it does. Is that always apparent to others? No. Is it always apparent to the sinner himself? No. But here again, an article of faith that we grow in these things, just as Scripture says we do. So again, we want to distinguish between justification and sanctification, but we never, ever want to separate them.
Hi, my name is Karen Best, and I was calling to ask, when you believe in God, why do you believe in God? Thanks.
That is an excellent question, actually related to the previous question to a certain degree. There are two ways of answering this question. Someone says, why do you believe in God? What caused you to believe in God? And I have to stand with Scripture and say, God caused me to believe in God. God gave me the gift of faith. I did not develop a faith. I did not kind of work my way toward a faith or somehow encounter arguments and convince myself to believe, but that faith is entirely a gift. It was given by God through His Word. In my case, it was given when I was a tiny baby through the Word and water of holy baptism. So I was given that gift of faith. That's, in one sense, that's why I believe, the only reason I believe. And I should say, the only reason I continue to believe is because God continues to act through His Word to sustain and maintain that faith. If He were to cease to act in that fashion, I would cease to believe. I would no longer be a Christian. He both creates and sustains, keeps the Christian in the Christian faith, to believe in the true God. There's another sense in which we talk about believing in God, and this is kind of to believe there is a God. We're not talking about the Christian faith here. We're talking about arguments that can convince a reasonable and open-minded person that a God exists. Not the true God and the true Christian faith necessarily, but that there is a deity who is in some sense both transcended and interacting with His creation. There are a lot of people who believe in a God. They're theists of all different stripes. There are a lot of people who believe in a God, and they've been convinced by all kinds of things. Some people are convinced by just going out and witnessing nature or seeing the terrible power of nature, and they say, well, there has to be a God behind this. Some people are convinced by the complexity of nature. People who study human biology say, this is ridiculous. This can't be an accident. There's even an argument for it called intelligent design. People can be convinced that there is a God through philosophical arguments or through, one might say, just kind of the evidences, God's fingerprints that He has left on His world. Again, this is not the Christian faith. This is just believing that there is a God. It's a deism or a theism that's out there. Now, do these two things interact? The true God bringing a Christian to the true Christian faith through His Word, entirely by His own act and will, and arguments by which people arrive at a belief, a kind of a generic belief that there is a God because of their experience or because of arguments that have been made or evidences they see in the world around them. Do these two interact? Yes, they do. And in fact, Christian apologists often start with those kind of theistic arguments in order to say, look, let's just talk about whether or not it is reasonable to believe that a God exists. But that is not yet to say, let me tell you who the true and only God is. That can be found only in Scripture. So we talk about two different things. We talk about God's special revelation, which is Holy Scripture, and we talk about His natural revelation, which He has left it, as St. Paul says in the first chapters of Romans, that He has left it as an undeniable truth that no one can honestly deny, that there is a God. And those who do deny it do it against better knowledge. And those who do deny it, sad to say, as St. Paul says, bring the wrath of God down upon themselves. So, as J. Budziszewski says, there are things that we can't not know. And one of them, at least according to St. Paul, is that there is a God. Is that yet knowledge of the true God? No.
Listen up. Here's some great advice from Michelle in Gilberts, Illinois. The word of the Lord endures forever. Podcast with Pastor Will Wheaton is a helpful, edifying daily devotional. A tip for fellow listeners. When Pastor Wheaton finishes the devotion of a book of the Bible, it's handy to go to the Issues, Etc. Introducing the Books of the Bible series with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller for a recap of the book just listened to. For instance, Pastor Whedon just finished the book of Mark. And now I'll go to Pastor Wolf Miller's Mark and listen to that as a recap. Conversely, the two could be reversed, I suppose. Intro and then Bible study. This busy mom is thankful for both resources. And thank you for listening, Michelle in Illinois.
Well, thank you very much. And I'm sure Pastor Whedon will be gratified to hear that you enjoy his podcast, The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, as you do. And Pastor Wolf Miller, gratified to hear that you liked that series with him as well. Two different ways of approaching those books of the Bible. One is to do the verse-by-verse expository Bible study with the help of the ancient church, as Pastor Whedon does in The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. And then just the kind of, 30,000-foot overview that Pastor Wolf Miller so ably provided in our Introducing the Books of the Bible series. I'm glad that you found a way to have those two resources work together. When we come back, are we going to do more email or are we going to move on? We're going to move on. Joy Pullman will join us to talk about the U.S. House passage of a bill to expand COVID-19 vaccine surveillance.
Communication's never been as easy as today, and it would make me happy when you've gone so far away.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the Advent season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Advent season, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
For nearly 140 years, the Lutheran Witness has taught the faith, defended it against error, and shown forth the great treasures of the Lutheran Church and biblical doctrine. We're continuing this legacy by publishing issues and articles that help you see the world from a Lutheran perspective and that teach biblical doctrine and show forth the treasures of God's Word. Visit our website to learn more and how to subscribe, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
This is Pastor Donald Jordan welcoming you to Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church in Chico, California. We stand upon the inspired, inerrant Word of God and preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Students at Chico State and Butte College are welcome to our college group. Our divine service is at 10 and Sunday school at 9. We are located at 750 Moss Avenue, and our website is RedeemerChico.org.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The world is filled with darkness now. It's maybe darker than it's ever been before.
Issues Etc. guest Dr. Adam Kuntz.
The reason to come to Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne and to study to be a pastor is so that the light of Christ can shine that much more brightly. It's not a time for retreat. It's not a time for hiding. It's a time to hear the Lord's call and to come out and to serve Him, to shine His light into very dark places in people's souls, in people's lives, throughout our nation and throughout the world.
Learn more about studying for the vocation of pastor at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. ctsfw.edu or 1-800-481-2155.